Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 3rd chapter. I'd like to share a few thoughts with you as we prepare our hearts for our Lord's table concerning the church and the fact that Christ loved the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 21. In fact, let's read verse 20 as well. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. O Lord God in heaven, we pray that we would indeed draw nearer to Thee. As we desire to draw nigh to You, O God, I pray that You would draw nigh to us. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. God delights to glorify His name in and through the ministry of the church. In verse 20, it talks about God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His power that works within us. Unto Him be glory in the church, in the hearts of God's people, assembled together in one place, in a locality. That's called a church, a New Testament church. And God is glorified in and through His church, the workings of God in and through His church. And there in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible teaches us in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. If we love Christ, then we will love what He loves. He loves the church. We should love the church. What's the church? It's far beyond a brick building. It's the people. As I was sharing with our leaders this afternoon, if this facility was to burn down, it'd be very sad, but it would not be the end of the church. We just would simply meet somewhere else. Sure, it'll be a little bit inconvenient. It'll be exciting maybe the first week or two, but then it'll be very inconvenient. But the church will still prevail. The church is the people. And Christ loved the church, and He proved His love for His church by dying for the church, that we might become a part of His church, the New Testament church. That which we cherish, we will love. Christ loved the church and He gave Himself for it. Just as a husband proves his value or his worth in his wife by loving her, so likewise we can prove our value, our love for the church by loving the church. Do you love what Christ loves? Do you love the church? If we truly love the New Testament church, there are a couple of principles that I believe will be evident. And I'd like to encourage you this evening as we prepare our hearts for our Lord's table. This is a memorial, a moment in which we can look back and remember what Christ has done for us. God ordained for this ordinance to be carried out through the ministry of the local New Testament church. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible teaches us, they that gladly received His word were baptized, they were added to the church, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in prayer, they continued in fellowship, and they continued in the breaking of bread, the Lord's table, praising God, caring one for another. Do you you love the church? That's my challenge this evening. Now, if we love the church, we will give evidence of that love by loving the heritage of the church. By loving the heritage of the church. The church is made up of redeemed individuals. Note there in Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew chapter 16. If you look at verses 15 and 16, he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And note verse 18, "I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." A New Testament church is made up of individuals that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ the Saviour. And the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, who confessed him as Saviour, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Upon that profession, Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Do you love the church? The church is a assembly of people that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. It's the redeemed. It's blood-bought children of God. Sinners saved by the grace of God. Unworthy sinners like you and I that have tasted of that amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me and also like you. The church is made up of the redeemed, saved individuals. Do we love the heritage of the church? When we consider the church, it's loving that which Christ loves, that which Christ died for, to save us from our sins. A New Testament church is made up of people that know the Lord Jesus Christ the Saviour. And the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Upon this rock." No, not on Peter. Peter's not the rock. The Lord Jesus is the rock. He's the rock of ages. He's the rock. And thou art Peter, thou art a little pebble upon this rock, on this boulder. Not you, Peter, you're a pebble. Upon this boulder, upon this rock that you've confessed me as the Christ, upon this I will build my church. So a New Testament church is made up of individuals that have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. The church was not founded upon Simon Peter. The church was founded upon Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. He is the foundation of the church. Do you love the heritage of the church? The church is made up of redeemed people. The church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth, according to 1 Timothy. Note there, please, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter, the third chapter. Verse number 15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church." The church of what? The living God, made up of living individuals, people that have life in Christ. The church of the living God, the pillar. This is what the church is to uphold. Uphold the pillar and ground. Foundation of what? Truth. Do you love the church? Do you love the heritage of the church? What the church is? That it's made up of believers, sinners saved by the grace of God. The church is to be a place where the truth of God's word is at its very foundation and is its very pillar, its point of existence, the pillar and ground of the truth. Truth should be in the church. I'm afraid there are many buildings that call themselves churches that do not uphold the truth. You ought to thank God that you're in a church this evening that upholds the truth. To the best of our ability, we continue in the apostles' doctrine. We continue in what our Lord Jesus taught his apostles, and we continue in that tradition to this very day. Do you love the heritage of the church? The church is made up of people that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, people that love the same Lord and Savior that you love, that you cried out to for salvation. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Do you love the heritage of the church? Metropolitan Baptist Church is a New Testament church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And if you really love the church, then you'll love Metropolitan Baptist Church. It won't be just like McDonald's that provides a service, or Myers that provides a service, or that mechanic that provides your service. No, there's a grasp. There's a big difference. There's a vast difference. There should be a vast difference. I'm afraid that for many Christians, the church is just like a place that provides a service for me. I've got to go to church somewhere. Oh, I'll go to Metropolitan Baptist Church. Oh, beloved, I trust that's not your mindset. I doubt it is if you're here tonight. Do you love the church? Consider the heritage of the church. This church is a missions-minded church. You ought to thank God for that. Oh, but Pastor, aren't all churches missions-minded? No, they are not. I wish they were. But no, they are not. You ought to thank God that you are part of a New Testament church made up of believers that is a pillar of the ground of the truth that upholds the truth, and a church that believes in missions. I'm so thankful that the founder of this church, some 44 years ago almost, the very first year that he founded the church, he had a missions conference. He started to train that little nucleus of people to reach out and love people and reach the world for Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that. And I believe that's why to this day we can support some 45 missionaries. Because we had a pastor that at the very root, at the start of this church, believed in seriously what Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I praise God for that. You love the church, the heritage of this church, a church that's made up of redeemed people, a church that upholds truth, a church that believes in missions, a church that believes in ministering to people and loving people. Within the first 2 years of this church's beginnings, this church invested in a youth pastor that would reach out to young people. And because this church had that vision, this youth pastor went to my high school, Crow's Nest Boys High School, preached the gospel. Friends of mine were saved. Because they got saved, they invited me to church, to youth group. And I got saved. Thank God for a church that believes in ministering to people and reaching young people. Thank God for that. I'm a pastor, isn't that just normal? No. I wish it was. You ought to thank God for your church that believes in ministering to all, to every age group, the young people. A church that believes in missions, a church that's made up of believers, a church that is determined to stay true to the Word of God. If you love the church, you'll love the heritage of the church. You'll think about what the church stands for and you'll appreciate that. But also, if you really love the church, then you'll love the community of the church. It's important that you and I love the community that we are in, because this is where God has placed us. It's not by coincidence. For the first 13 years of our existence, we were in Chatswood, corner of Anderson and Daisy Street. Wow, those were the good old days. But now we've been here in Lane Cove since 1987. A long, long time. This is where God has placed us, in His providence. And if we really love the church, then we will choose to love the community in which God has placed us in. There in Acts chapter 1, please, verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible teaches us that, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." In some ways, it's far easier to have a part in reaching Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We can do that through our missions offerings, our missions giving, but this is our Jerusalem. This is where God has placed us. And we ought to ask God to give us a love for people within this community. Oh, but Pastor, people within this community don't want God. Well, what community does want God? Tell me. I'd love to know. I'm not aware of any community within Australia that wants our God. But do they need our God? Yes, they do. We ought to love our community. If we love the church, then we'll thank God. God has placed us here, and God has placed us here for a reason. And may God, by God's grace, I'm going to do what I can to reach this community for Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray for my community. I'm going to give out tracts in my community. I'm going to come to soul winning in order to reach my community. I'm going to do what I can to reach my community for Christ. See, if we love the church, we'll love the heritage of the church, and we'll love the community of the church because we believe wholeheartedly that God has placed us here. And from this point, we reach out, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, beloved, we have such a huge mission field. A huge mission field. But may it begin by you and I loving our community and seeking to reach our community for Christ. So if you love the church, you'll love the heritage of the church. What the church is and what it stands for. But also you'll love the community in which the church is in. You'll have a burden for our immediate community. And thirdly, you'll love the members that are still in the church. Not those that are no longer in the church. If you really love the church, you'll love the members in the church and let go of those that are no longer in the church. Now there in Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 16, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by the which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." This is a well-oiled church. An organized church, a church that's working as a team, and a church that values one another. And because we value one another, and because we have a love for one another, and because we see that I have a part to play within the body to help the remainder of the body, the church will be healthy and the church will grow. And beloved, let me encourage you, if you say, "Pastor, yes, I love the church," well, let's love one another. Love the members still in the church. You can't do much about those that are no longer here. I'm afraid that's just how it is. Welcome to planet Earth. That's how it is. So don't worry too much about those that are no longer here. Let's be concerned about the ones that are here. And let's love the ones that are here. Because those of us that are here, God has put us here, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, through which every joint supplieth. You have a part to play.